I'm Pastor Brian. It's a joy to be with you today in this virtual way and to share as we start this new sermon series called Fruit of the Spirit. And I have a question for us. You may have had a hint in Tori's message today, but how many fruit of the Spirit does Paul talk about? And the answer, it's a trick question. The answer is one. Fruit is singular. It's a single fruit of the Spirit, which is our lives, and then it is played out in the various characteristics, as Tori did such a great job sharing with us. I want to share the verse, what Paul writes exactly, along with a little bit of context, just the verse that comes before it. Paul writes this to the church in Galatia. He says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The fruit of the Spirit, if we'll let it, produces all of these virtues in our lives. And today we're going to start a month-long series where we're going to look at some of the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look at some that maybe are sort of less preached on or less the topic of sermons. We talk quite a bit about love and joy and peace. Of course, it's never enough. But we're going to look at four of the others over the next month, and we're starting today with self-control. And I am so excited. Matt Michelli is here to deliver our message this morning. Many of those in FaithWorks know him as Mr. Matt. Matt and his whole family are just always involved and sharing their gifts with our congregation, whether it's drama or sharing their musical gifts or Matt sharing messages. So I am so excited to welcome Matt today as he delivers our message today about self-control.
Thanks. I am Matt Michelli, and I love what I do here. I love hanging with little FaithWorks kids, and it brightens my Sunday and brightens my life. On that note, I want to send a shout out to all you faith workers out there. Hi. We miss you guys so much. So much, guys. We miss your smile. We miss your love. We miss your passion. We miss your friendship. We just miss everything about you. And we cannot wait to see all of the faith workers from little nurseries to fifth grade. We can't wait to see you next fall. I know Miss Tori and all the other leaders have big plans for us. Of course, I'm going to be there and a whole bunch of other people, and it's just going to be a great time. So just be patient for a little bit longer, and just remember that we at FaithWorks, we love you guys so much, and we can't wait to see you guys. But back to our topic, self-control. So it's all about self-control. But first off, when we talk about self-control, we need to figure out what the definition is, right? So this is what the definition of self-control, according to Sparky, Marky, Carl, and Polly. There are four characters that you'll see later this month. So I checked out the Google, and the Google says this: the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. I consider myself a pretty calm person. It takes a lot to get me angry. It takes quite a bit to get me really upset, and I learned that from my father. I grew up in a family of six, two older brothers and a younger sister. I always say that I was a very blessed child. I had a very loving home, two loving parents, brothers and sisters. We fought a little bit, but that's understandable. But it was a very loving home, and everyone knew that. We went to church every Sunday in a Catholic church. I remember going to Easter masses on Sundays, Christmas Eve masses at the Basilica. I remember all that time. And now that we're grown up, we're all married. My mom and dad now have 10 grandkids, so when we all get together, when it does happen, it doesn't happen too often, but when it does happen, there's 20 of us. And yes, my mom and dad can fit 20 people around a table at dinner. and it's fun. It really is. But with that said, when we all get together, we were brought up Catholic. Now there are 5 different denominations in our family. Some things we agree on, some things we don't agree on, and after dinner we get into those discussions. They're not heated. We don't fight. We don't argue. We go away loving each other, but the discussions are still there. But it's my dad. My dad sits at his chair at the head of the table where he always eats at, and he leans back, and he just folds his arms, and he listens. We're getting to this discussion, but my dad just listens. Smiles a little bit, but he listens. He doesn't say anything until the very end. Then he usually says his wisdom. A while back, I asked my dad, I said, you have 5 different denominations in your family. And I said, how do you feel about that? And he told me this, and I'll never forget this, and this is what I'm trying to do to my children. My dad told me my job was to introduce you to God. What you do with that introduction is between you and God. My dad is always calm, cool, and collective. He always has this self-control. And when he did lose his self-control, I'm sure I played a major part in that. I wasn't always a good kid. But as a person, I think I have it. I have self-control. I am calm unless I am hanging drywall or watching Notre Dame football game. Notre Dame football games, I get loud, and I'm usually kicked out into the garage. But other than that, I'm fairly calm. So today I decided to do something different when I was talking about self-control. I decided, instead of me thinking of all of my faults, I'm going to let someone else tell me. So I went to my wife and 4 children, and I asked them, where do I lose self-control? Now, probably wasn't the best idea because they weren't too hesitant to tell me. But my wife told me, your bad habits. You have a lot of bad habits, and they get the best of you. She's absolutely right. We all have bad habits. And sometimes my bad habits trumps what I believe in, and they get in my way. I asked my one daughter, says, hey, where do I lose self-control? She says, playing Wii. I found that I am a very sore winner. When I win, I make sure that everyone knows about it. Last night, I found that I was a sore winner in cornhole. Sorry, Mr. Bob. Maybe one day you'll beat me. When I get angry, one child says, when you get angry, you get mad, and every answer is no. Yes, I do get angry. Another child, when you get angry, we know that you're angry. And then finally, my son, although my one daughter said that I was a sore winner, my son says, you're also a very sore loser. A few years ago, I was really good at Mario Kart. I was very good at Mario Kart. But then my kids grew up, and now I can't beat them. Mario Kart games get so intense that at the very final lap, you will see 3-4 of us right next to the TV with our Wii remotes trying to get across that finish line, and I am always the last one, and I do let the neighborhood know it. So what do we do with these? I mean, we get so involved with our lives and our schedules. Our lives get into a routine, and we become aware that other people are seeing where we lose our self-control. I mean, we are believers of God, right? We are believers of the loving God. We believe that Jesus came down, taught us peace and love for all, and made this ultimate sacrifice. But when we get these things, when we lose control, people see that, and then they start questioning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So how are we as believers of God able to teach others about self-control when we ourselves can't demonstrate it? The reason why I like being up here and talking to the congregation and to all the kids of FaithWorks and every now and then over at Firehouse, it's selfish reasons. I do it for myself because I need to constantly remind myself about what we're talking about. I chose self-control. I know I need some help with it, but I chose this topic to remind myself that there are people watching me that I need to be an example for. There's people all over the world. 328 million people in the United States right now. Obviously, we're not going to see all 328 million people, but those people are watching us. Indiana, 6.7 million. In St. Joe County alone, 272,000 people that could be watching you, and that is your opportunity for you to be an example of how not to lose your self-control and to share that love with God. Think about where you work at, your schools, your grandparents, aunt and uncles, all these people that are watching you. You need to be that example. We need to be that example. How about those kids sitting right next to you, or your husband or wife right next to you? You are with them every day. Every day, they are looking towards you, looking for an example of the self-control. 1 Corinthians, again, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. The best part is God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. We need self-control more than ever today. Our hearts break for those who are hurting. Our hearts break for the violence. Our hearts break for those who have lost loved ones. Our emotions are up and down. Temptations are up and down. So how do we react? My wife has been hitting the prayer card a lot lately. She's been telling the family to pray, pray, pray. She sends us text messages. Hey, pray. We had a discussion the other day. Pray. God just wants to listen to you. He wants to talk to you. Pray, pray, pray. So today, I ask this from the congregation of Clay Church and those who are watching. I ask that you pray for me. I ask you to pray for my weaknesses. I know I have them. Many of you know that I have the weaknesses. God knows all my weaknesses. I want you to pray for my weaknesses and my temptations. I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for your loved ones. I want you to pray for each other. Pray that we let God into our hearts and our lives again. Pray that we give those temptations back to God and move us to a better, self-controlled, God-loving life. The world right now is depending on it. Secondly, I challenge you to do this. After service, before everyone goes off their separate ways, before you go have lunch, or before the kids start getting on their little electronics things, I want you guys to take 10 minutes and just ask each other, where do you see that I lose self-control? Don't argue about it. Don't fight about it, because things could get heated in my house. But don't argue or fight about it, because the people you're talking to, they love you. They love you no matter what. So just be honest with each other. Where do I lose self-control? Take those answers, whatever they say to you, take those and give them right to God. Pray right there for yourself. Give those temptations to God and help God come into your heart to have more self-control. It says God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape. Let's pray. Forever loving God, we come to you with broken hearts, anger, confusion, and a lack of self-control. We come to you today because you're the answer. You are the guide. I pray that you touch every person, every heart today, and remind us of the peace and the love in your heart that you give to us. I ask that you just be a guide for us to be an example to those who see us. God, you are forever faithful, and you will provide the way of escape of our temptations and anger. All these things we ask in your precious name of Jesus. Amen.